Mics are live.
Okay. You guys are ready?
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We'll open this informal hearing in case number PU-17-122, Otter Tail Power Company, environmental cost recovery rates. With me are Commissioners Crassus and Fedorchak, who you'll hear from in a moment. Also here from our team is Sarah Cardwell, Victor Shook, Patrick Fawn, Jerry Lean, and Steve Call. I'll have the company people introduce yourselves in a moment. I will just point out to everyone listening or here on the case, we had some electronic malfunctions and had to replace some equipment recently. This is our first day with the new stuff, and so hopefully these mics are a little more able to pick things up than before. You probably don't have to holler right into them, but it is recorded and broadcast, and so when you are speaking, you do need to speak into a mic, and we'll hope that everything continues to work, but if something has to be stopped, or hopefully not, but even if it has to be redone, we'll have to tackle that when the time comes. If you would go through now and give your names on the record, I'd appreciate that.
My name is Stuart Tomerdahl. I'm Manager Regulatory Administration with Otter Tail Power.
Bryce Haugen, Rates Analyst with Otter Tail Power.
Bill Swanson, Manager of Supply Engineering with Otter Tail Power.
Kirk Finney, Manager of Generation Services, Otter Tail Power.
Kerry Stephenson, Associate General Counsel, Otter Tail Power.
Okay, so this is an informal hearing. I guess the one warning, if we get into any facts that are in dispute, we would need to close the informal and schedule a regular hearing. But basically, I'll turn it over to you all in a moment to explain the case and state your case. First, I would ask Commissioner Fedorchak, did you have any opening comments?
I do not, except for I know that when we adopted the new system, it was really hard for Brian because he really liked hollering into the old mics.
He's a big holler.
Well, we'll see once how it works out. This is your case, Commissioner Crassus, so did you have any opening comments?
No, just thank you, everyone, for being here, and I look forward to hearing from the company, and we that really does pick up sound well. So, which is
perfect. Resisted the urge to holler.
Perfect for a soft-spoken person like myself. So, why don't we just get started?
Okay, Stuart, are you the?
I'll
okay.
Start. If I
thanks, Bryce.
Said, and we just appreciate the chance to be here today to talk about the environmental rider and also talk about two projects that we're very proud of. And so we thank you for the chance to be here. And the agenda that we have today, we visited with Sarah here to talk through what we ought to share. We'll provide a background information and a filing summary of the environmental rider here. Mr. Swanson will summarize the existing projects in the rider, the Big Stone Air Quality Control System, and Hulik plant mercury and air toxic standards projects. I'll go through the calculation of a revenue requirement, high level, how revenue requirement is calculated, and then Mr. Tomerdahl will discuss Otter Tail's rates overall, and then summarize the revenue requirement and request. So that's what we'll look to here. On slide three, we've got a background of the history of the environmental rider. This was first effective rate was January 1 of 2014. That rate included the Big Stone Air Quality Control System. We've got subsequent rate updates that have happened. In 2015, we included the Hoot Lake Plant MATS project in the recovery here. This rate update is a decrease. The current rate is at 7.904%, and it's a decrease down to 7.633% for this update that we're requesting. Our original request had the rate implementation July 1st, and just with timing of things, August 1 is now the appropriate implementation date, and we would just propose to keep the same rate into effect. It's close enough, and I think it'll be it would work out just fine to move it back to April or August 1. So this is the fourth update. Just a summary of the filing is that Otter Tail here is seeking to continue recovery of a couple projects, the AQCS and MATS projects that were previously approved. The proposed rate drops from the 7.9 down to the 7.633%, and overall an impact on a residential customer using 1,000 kWh is a 25% or 25 cent per month bill decrease is what the impact is for this. From there, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Swanson to talk through the projects.
Thanks, Bryce. So it's my pleasure to talk over two very interesting projects. One is either is or was the largest project that Otter Tail had ever undertaken, but the biggest on AQCS project. And then interesting dichotomy is a very small project we had at our Hoot Lake plant, both with similar results in both in the rider. So they're interesting projects to compare and contrast. And I get the pictures, so that's always a better part of the presentation than the equation. So that's a lovely picture of the plant there. So overview of Big Stone. Big Stone's located on the South Dakota-Minnesota border near Big Stone City, near Milbank, South Dakota. It is a jointly owned plant. Otter Tail owns just over half of the plant, along with the co-owners Northwestern and Montana Dakota. It's been a baseload resource for all three companies online since 1975, and about 475 megawatts, or 474 here. So, just a little bit of the history there. An overview of the Big Stone Plant AQCS project on slide 7. This project and all the upgrades were necessary to comply with the federal regulations, Clean Air Act, due to regional haze, and the mercury and air toxic standard. Those projects, that's the real reason why these were undertaken, and it went through the Advanced Determination of Prudence back in the 2011 case. In slide 8, the equipment that was installed, we put in a flue gas desulfurization unit, CDS system, circulating dry scrubber system, along with a baghouse for particulate control, SCR, selective catalytic reduction for NOx reduction, and an activated carbon injection system for mercury removal. One of the things that I think we're proudest of on this project is the overall safety record. When you take a look at the number of man hours that were worked on this project and the only one lost time incident and a very, very low OSHA rate, the safety that we had in this project really was one of the hallmarks that we think about when we think of this project overall for Otter Tail Power Company. Now just on slide 9, there you can see the picture. There's the plant during construction. You can see the cranes to the left of the plant. And in the foreground, you can see the laydown area. That's where all of the equipment came in. It was staged. You can see some parking areas right there. And you have a pretty good sense of, the size of the plant. And really, if you look at the footprint, it nearly doubled the footprint of the plant, all the equipment that was installed at Big Stone. If you move ahead to slide 10, you can see, I believe that was the last aerial photograph that was taken showing the completed project at the site.
Can you remind me just which was added? Is it the big part on the right?
You're looking at the pictures. It's really in the foreground.
There is a point here.
You could even step up to the... I suppose I have to speak to the microphone.
Yeah. It's the big there ball there.
Right there. So this is really it's right back here. This is the SCR system in the back and the CDS scrubber right here and all of this equipment right here. And this is the existing plant and the chimney right there. And new ID fans down in this area right here. So really it's this area of the plant. So slide 11. The original project cost estimate was just less than $500 million. Current project cost estimate is about $366 million. And this is then the reason, I think this is the reason why I got to talk about this project, is I was not directly in the management group for this project. And engineers are terrible about bragging their accomplishments up. You know, it's almost like pain for them to go through that. But I'll talk about the fact that, you know, this project was headed up by Mark Rolfus. Mark retired about 2 years ago. Mark was very well respected in the industry. He came and testified here at the commission, as well as the commissions in all three states. And, you know, it was his leadership and folks like Kirk here and the other project team members that really took this project and took, you know, the effort that they went through to go through the way the project was set up, the way the project team sort of broke down all aspects of the project, looked at different ways to save money, looked at the project delivery method, and try to reduce that cost is really the reason why that cost was able to be reduced. You know, they looked at project delivery method, target pricing. They were the construction management group rather than trying to farm that out to someone else. They worked hard to get, you know, the advanced determination of prudence to move the project ahead, to get ahead of maybe other projects that were coming on. And as a result of that, in that timing, they were able to reduce that cost. As well as you look at some of the prudent design engineering modifications that they went through, in particular, we were talking on the way up about the boiler modifications, how they took that. And they looked at maybe what the initial engineering group had proposed and modified that so that they could reduce that cost while keeping the performance of the plant at maximum. So they really did a tremendous job for that. As a result of that, they were able to reduce the overall project cost to about $125 million. And commercial operation is really, its test up and starting was all of 2015, and right at the end of 2015 for commercial operation.
Kirk, did you get a 1% bonus?
No.
So any questions on the AQCS? Yeah,
before you move on, what's left? Because we still have a current project cost estimate, but it's been operational for a year and a half.
Not much. I mean, there really is very minimal remaining dollars. We talked about it the other day, Kirk. It's
two retention release payments in October. It's well defined.
Right. It's in the
under a couple $100,000
range. Something.
Okay. So we don't have to worry that all of a sudden there was some. Okay.
And then can you also just restate what this accomplished? What are the improvements that this we're getting as a result of the $366 million?
You bet. So it was reduction, and there was no sulfur scrubber at Big Stone prior to this. So reduction in sulfur emissions, reduction in NOx emissions, reduction in particulate emissions with the METS project, and reduction in mercury emissions.
Do you know what percentage
of any of those? Oh, boy, I'd have
80 to 90% on all of those.
Reduction?
Yes.
And I'll just say one more thing. We talked about it on the way up, you know, that when the project first started, there was an estimate of an additional 20 megawatts of power that this project was going to take. We put in more pollution control equipment. Naturally, there's a larger parasitic load and the associated with that. Through the work that this group did, they were able to basically get that down to minimal to no increase in the station service at the plant. So the overall efficiency was maintained the same. In fact, I think at lower loads, you were saying the efficiency is even better. A lot of that was really the work, I think, they put into working and optimizing the boiler at Big Stone.
So if I heard you correctly, the retirement of the Hoot Lake facility, the upcoming retirement in 2021, did that change anything in terms of what you did to that particular facility and looking out and saying, well, we don't have to take it quite as far to still meet the requirements? And did that take costs down at all, or did that have...
With regards to Big Stone, you mean?
No, the Hoot Lake.
And I'll be covering Hoot Lake as the next project. Okay. I'll be talking about
right.
That.
Right. I'm just wondering, that'll be a question I have in terms of the overall cost, what impact that may or may not have had.
Yeah, okay. I'll touch on that maybe just in the next project. Any other questions on the AQCS project? Okay, then going to slide 12 on the Hoot Lake project. So this is a, I was trying to do that, I think it's a nearly or over 60-year-old facility. It's located in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Unlike the Big Stone plant, this is 100% owned by Otter Tail Power Company. Been online, at least, there's, and actually there's two units there, Hoot Lake 2 and Hoot Lake 3. Hoot Lake 2 is about 60 megawatts, Hoot Lake 3 about 80 megawatts. And it's about 140 megawatts of capacity that we have there in Fergus Falls.
Hoot Lake 1 is the one to
retire. Hoot Lake 1 has been retired since the early 2000s. 2 and 3 will be retired in 2021.
Okay.
In what year?
2021. It's the end of 2020. It's a MISO planning year. So it's March 2021.
So these upgrades were needed just to run it that long?
Correct. Yep.
What was the megawatts of 2 and 3 that total up to 144?
It's about 60 megawatts on unit 2, and it's about 84 megawatts on unit 3.
Okay. And they're closing in 2021?
Correct. Retired in 2021. So slide 14, you know, and this is where it was a little bit different at Big Stone, or at Hoot Lake than it was at Big Stone. You know, we were also looking at needed upgrades with the mercury and air toxic standard at Hoot Lake. Recognizing the age of the facility, you know, some of the initial thoughts and estimates, you know, what that might cost, really were in the range of perhaps of $20 to $25 million. Given that kind of investment and the age of the facility, you know, we were challenged, I'd say, to try to find a more cost-effective solution to keep it running to 2021 rather than perhaps early retirement. So we looked at various options, and I can talk about this one, too, because I was on the higher end and somebody else improved it later. So we go. I'll jump to slide 15. Really, the mercury and air toxic standard was about removal of mercury and other metals. And by removing the particulate from the flue gas stream, this is how you're proving that you're removing the metals from the flue gas stream. The original thought was that we would convert. So with the two units there, each one has an electrostatic precipitator behind it. And we would convert one of those two to a baghouse. And through the averaging of both those units, we're going to plan to meet the MAT standard. So that was my plan. Mm-hmm. We did some investigation, came up with some things, $10 million estimate to do that, and it would have been a complicated, difficult project. You know, I think we could have gotten it done, but we, you know, pushed ahead with that project. And really it was another engineer that worked at Hoot Lake, Mike Olson, who listened to vendors, who listened to equipment suppliers, and said, you know, these guys are willing to give us performance guarantees. They have far more advanced equipment than we had in 1959. And for less dollars, he found a way to outfit both plants rather than just one for a more reliable system. And he did it for $7 million rather than $10 million. And he had to swim against the current that was maybe me, as I had some pride on the line of the $10 million estimate. So he, through his hard work and diligence and working with other people, he was able to bring that project in at the $7 million. So you have in service in late 2014. So I really think you have an interesting look at two projects, how the folks really comes down to the team working on that was able to, you know, improve the overall project delivery, planning, research, and help bring these projects, successful projects, under budget. Any questions about the Hoot Lake project?
I do. Maybe I've misunderstood something all along. I knew there were some additions to operate it into this time frame, but have you done? Can you keep running it no longer? Is it in compliance? Or I thought there were more things that would have been necessary to run it another 10 or 15 years. to meet environmental standards that you chose not to do because you intended to shut it down.
So. No, so we're currently meeting all the environmental standards, you know, that we currently have. As we look ahead, as we look to likely decreases in or increased standards, decreased needed emissions, you know, it would probably take something like a baghouse or a project similar to an AQCS type project so you could reliably plan on operating going ahead.
Well, at this point, until tougher standards come in, why shut it down? If now you've poured $7 million into it. And
yeah, and we know, I think the question, you know, we likely would have had to shut it down sooner. If we had, not likely, we would have had to shut it down sooner had we not been able to meet those. So that bought us the time to 2021 when we can plan a replacement.
Understood, but now why shut it down until something stricter goes in? If it's meeting all the requirements, you've got something paid for. Why not just keep using it?
Yeah, and it's a good facility, and the folks there do a great job running it. I certainly want to, you know, say that. You know, it is... It's currently not operating very much. You know, the economics behind it, because it's older, because it's not as efficient as some of the other plants, it's typically not being called on to operate within MISO. So agreed, it's a capacity type unit right now, but it's being supported by a lot of staff there as well. A lot of costs associated with that. Commissioner Crosius, did I answer your question?
Yes.
So does that mean it's more expensive than other things on the margin, so MISO is choosing not to run it?
Correct.
Is that because it's older units with lower heat rate then that makes it not?
It would be, we would call it a higher heat rate.
Okay.
Not quite as efficient as some of the other units out there, and you know, the delivered coal costs to that area being a smaller unit. It just is a higher priced in the MISO market than other resources. Any other questions on the projects? Thank you.
I'd like to move into giving an overview of the calculation of the revenue requirement. On slide 17, we have, we use this formula to walk through the calculation of the revenue requirement for the air quality control system for this recovery period that we're requesting the rate update for. In the formula, there's two components that make up the revenue requirement. We've got the expense side and the rate base side, or return on rate base side. In the expense bucket, we've got the operating expenses, or taxes, and our depreciation. Puts into that bucket. The other bucket is the rate base, and then the rate of return by the rate base. Add those together, we get a revenue requirement. So again, I'm going to walk through the AQCS project just through this formula. In this example, for the recovery period, the average rate base on the AQCS project is about $142.7 million. So that, as you can see, populates into that section of the formula here.
Is that North Dakota share of the project?
This is total. This would be total company.
Okay.
Yep.
So of the $366,000, you bear $142.7 million. $366 million. Sorry.
Yes. The $366 million would be total project gross plant cost, and then our rate base. I mean, there'd be some. Some depreciation taken off of that to get down to the rate base amount.
Down to 142.
Correct.
Or for
correct.
Your company's share.
Correct. This is Otter Tail total company
okay.
share, 142,700,000. Yes. Yeah. Moving on to slide 19, the rate of return is the 8.62%. In the rider, we used what was approved in the last general rate case, and you can see the capital structure weighting there. Multiplying the rate base by the rate of return on slide 20 gives us the return on rate base of 12 million or 12.3 million. And again, that would be a total, that would be a total company number as well. Moving on to slide 21, the calculation of expenses in the supporting document to the initial filing, we provide a month-by-month list of expenses, and this is just a sum of those total expenses here. Operating taxes and depreciation and then the income tax portion brings us to just about $11 million of total company retail expenses for the recovery period, July 1 to June of 18. From there, we add the two together, come up with a total revenue requirement. This is total company, again, of $23.3 million. And then moving on to slide 23, which as I'm paging through these, I think I maybe could have condensed one or two of these slides, but I was hoping to be able to walk smoothly through it. And we take the total company revenue requirement, that return on rate base plus the expenses, and allocate a portion of that revenue requirement to North Dakota. So the North Dakota share then ends up being about $9.4 million. And this is for the AQCS project.
Is that, how do you divide the shares between the states? Is it done? Is it on retail sales? Is it on meters? How do you determine the percentages?
Right. The allocation factors that we use, it's a little bit of a split, but it's energy and demand is how it's allocated to the state. Yeah. And pass it over to Mr. Tomerdahl for this next section.
As Bryce walked through this example here, and articulated and kind of walked us through the mechanics of the revenue requirement for the AQCS project, as you can see on line one, that was roughly about $9.4 million. Similar calculation happens on the Hoot Lake MAT project, and that revenue requirement is about $600,000, a little over $600,000. And then any true up that happens from the prior period and associated carrying charge gets adjusted and factored into the revenue requirement. So the total revenue requirement in this particular update is approximately $9.9 million. If you move on to slide 25, as Mr. Swanson was talking about the two projects and the associated cost savings, you know, on the investment side, we thought it might be helpful just to kind of, quantify how did that affect revenue requirements, and so what's the value of those savings from a North Dakota customer revenue requirement perspective. And so if you look at the Big Stone project, it came in under budget about $125 million. Of that, Otter Tail's share of the plant at 53.9%, so about $67 million. And then the allocation of that investment savings of about $27.2 million to North Dakota. So if you were to calculate an annual revenue requirement on rate base of about $27 million, it's about a $3.2 million savings that North Dakota customers realize. Same mechanics on the Hoot Lake MATS project. We saved about $3 million, not listening to Bill here and his idea. the allocation to North Dakota about $1.2 million, so $141,000 savings there. So, we're proud of the our accomplishments in bringing those projects well under budget and keep trying to keep our costs low for our customers. Moving on to slide 26, and you know, again, just to, I think, reiterate, you know, Otter Tail's rate position, you know, within North Dakota, continue to have the lowest average retail rates among the IOUs serving in North Dakota, and the table here reflects, you know, annual EEI average retail rate amounts that are aggregated and collected through bill surveys that are done by EEI. Slide 27 is just a graphical representation of that same data. So again, you can see we're tracking under our other counterparts and certainly well under the national average.
What would you attribute, was it in about 2009, 2010? You were basically right in line with the others.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a sentence or two on the improvement in terms of then being the low-cost leader, if you will.
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One, we haven't had a general rate case since 2008, and so we've been able to maintain and keep our base rates basically the same over that period of time. You know, the ability to have an environmental rider to help with the recovery of projects like the Big Stone AQCS project, the Hoot Lakes project, and as well as recovery of transmission and renewable rider investments that we've been able to and needed to make over the last few years. These riders have helped with that recovery while still allowing Otter Tail to stay out of a rate case and keep its base rates low. And then looking for efficiencies within the organization, very cost conscious, a number of things.
Does this chart just reflect base rates? It doesn't include base rates plus riders for any of the company?
This chart is all retail rates, so it's across all customer classes. It's like if you took total revenues divided by total sales.
Okay.
It's,
so riders
yeah.
are included in
it,
this?
Yes, riders are included in this.
So could you make any conclusions about what the other companies have been doing to where their rates are going up faster than yours since 2009 as a follow-up to Mr. Prosh's question?
Yeah, I hesitate to speculate on all the, I know I can speak for Otter Tail and, the things that we try to do and have continued to do. Certainly, it's important to us to try to keep our rates as low as possible, given the demographics of our service territory, the nature of the towns that we serve. It's an important aspect of our company and our culture. I guess just to summarize, and certainly if there are other questions, we're that's why we're here, but. Our request today of the commission is, to seek approval, of this annual update to our rider, the updated costs and collections that are reflected in it. As Bryce mentioned earlier, the rate is coming down. We're looking for an approval of the proposed rate at 7.633%, to be effective August 1.
Any other questions?
Not for me, no.
Sarah or Victor?
No questions for me.
No, I think this is Sarah's case. I can't say I've spent a lot of time with it myself, but everything seems to be in order as far as staff is concerned. I don't know if Sarah has any specific
issues with it? No?
No, I do not. I already recommended that the commission approve it. So this will be on the agenda for the July 12th meeting, and you can make your decision at that time.
After hearing this, are there any other things that you'd like to have them file or anything like that to add to the record yet?
No.
Any other requests from the commissioners?
No. It's hard to be against the rate decrease.
25 cents.
And I'm talking about both the documentation as well as the discussion today. Is there any objection to everything in this hearing being on the record as part of our decision-making process?
No.
Okay, so the recording as well as the presentation will become part of the record from which we will make our decision. And this informal hearing is closed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.